Let's turn back to the third chapter of Habakkuk today, to chapter 3 and the verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. With all that has taken place, especially of recent times, we wonder how can we have a hopeful Canada Day? The worldly man would probably say that Canada has never been doing better than she is today. The economy is good. The unemployment is down. Trade is doing very well in spite of mad cow and SARS and all the other, we trust, short-term setbacks that have beset our nation this year. Things, for the most part, in this nation look very good. Yet, to the Bible believer, Canada has never been in a sorrier state than she is at this very time. We seem to have lost all moorings, and the ship is very much adrift, and we wonder how we will ever see this nation brought back on course again. And it is in light of this dire concern that this book of Habakkuk comes into its own to be a moral compass to us as God's people. When Habakkuk was writing this and prophesying in his day, God had given him the insight that Judah, due to her sin and apostasy, was to be invaded by the Chaldeans. This ferocious nation would come without mercy as an act of judgment against Judah, Jerusalem, and the holy place would be ransacked, slaves would be taken off, and there would be dreadful times ahead. And in short, the message was things would get worse before they would get better. And they would observe the wicked advancing. They would observe that the evil man would prosper. And of course, the question is, why? Why would God allow the wicked to increase and God's people to be in such bondage and affliction? The key to that, and the theme of the whole book really, pivots on one little statement in chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul is lifted up, is not upright in him. That's the wicked. But the just, that's the man and woman of God, that's those who hope in the Lord, shall live by his faith. Paul, of course, quotes this in the book of Romans. It's quoted again in the book of Galatians. It's quoted also in the book of Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. And it's quoted in the context, definitely, of justification by faith alone. We are saved not by our works, we are saved by faith in Calvary. But I think the context here in Habakkuk gives it a wider meaning. It is the meaning that the just shall live not by the appearance of things, not by how they look on the outward scene, but by the unseen values. And if you study carefully the earlier chapters, as we've been seeking to do on Wednesday evenings, that those unseen things is God's holiness, God's everlasting nature, that God is a rock who never changes, and as we live by faith in those eternal absolutes, then we can make sense even of the circumstances that are around us. Now I want you to notice, chapter 2, verse 20, ends with this contrasting but the Lord is in his holy temple. There's a statement of great faith. And that is the attitude of the man or woman of faith. But the Lord is in his holy temple. And as we live in Canada today and we see evil advancing and we see our leaders selling out Christian principles and biblical morals, We have to say, but the Lord is in His holy temple. God has not vacated the throne. He is still at work. And while in His permissive will these things are taking place, the man of faith, the attitude of faith, the just shall live by faith, is not that we take the attitude God is dead, God is no longer interested in this nation, God is just allowing the church to die. No, the Lord is in His holy temple. Now that, of course, stirred up Habakkuk as he came to that conviction and to that conclusion. And we find him now in chapter 3 in prayer. The just shall live by faith, and the just shall pray in faith. And in this text we've chosen, chapter 3, 2, we see a model here for us. Praying in faith for Canada. Praying in faith for this nation. How shall we pray? As depressed, defeated, hopeless citizens? Or shall we come with the attitude of faith to the God who has not changed, who is still in His holy temple, and who will still remember His church? I want you to notice a number of aspects to Habakkuk's prayer in this verse. First of all, you have here faith to receive God's word with deep conviction. Deep conviction. O Lord, I have heard Thy speech and was afraid. Now, a prophet is a prophet of two aspects, two parts to his ministry. One is to speak what the Lord gives him, and to be ruthlessly faithful to the word of God. But also he must listen for the voice of God. And if you go back to chapter 2, you'll notice that he resolved, after he observed all the difficulties in his day, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And so he removes himself from everyday circumstances. He gets up into this tower, which is the picture of getting alone in an observation point, and he seeks to get God's mind on the matter. And God speaks to him. He speaks to him. And what God speaks to Habakkuk enters into his heart with deep conviction, so that he trembles. He is filled with fear. And it came with such power and such weight to him that he was afraid. And so therefore I want you to see that this prophet was no easy simpleton who flippantly went about speaking words that were supposedly from God. But rather there was judgment coming. It was going to be awful. There was going to be no stopping of the Chaldeans in their advance. And as I have summed up, things would get much worse before they would get better. Now we have to come to the same place that Habakkuk came to fear the word of the Lord. And this is the difference between true gospel ministry and the frivolous sensationalism of the modern day church. We need to be a people that fear the word of the Lord. We need to get up into our tower and cry to God, what are you saying to us? Speak to us, Lord. And take that word to heart. And live not by sight, but by faith in the word that God speaks. Canadians are often told today that all is well. Now, it'd be very easy for an economist to get onto a soapbox and preach that message. When it comes to the church, some people just take the visible and they say Canada's doing well. But Habakkuk, his message to Judah, no, you're not doing well. God is going to send judgment and correction, and these Chaldeans will come. And this all came because of Habakkuk's fear for the Lord's word. He didn't read the popular statistics of men. He didn't read the general impression around him. He wanted the mind of God and the Word of God to speak to his heart. And that leads to real praying. That's what made him a man of prayer here in this third chapter. Because we're not going to really pray unless we have the ear of God on this. After all, our Lord Jesus said that if ye abide in me and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what you will. And so the first step to praying in faith is to have an ear for that word and let it abide in us. Praying in faith. Then I'd ask you to notice in verse 2 that this was faith in Habakkuk to recognize that the church is God's work. The church is God's work. He says here, O Lord, revive thy work. It takes faith to say that. And it takes more faith to pray that. That the church is God's work. Now, as we understand that the church has basically two viewpoints. One is the local church. We, I trust, are the Lord's church. He's the head, we're the body. And every member in this church is a member of this local congregation. Then there is the church of Christ, which is the redeemed people of God in the nation. Wherever they worship. They're redeemed, saved by grace, living in God's word and in God's will. We accept them as the church of Christ at large. And of course we are seeing this is God's work to raise up Christians, save souls, bring many to faith in the Lord Jesus. That is God's purpose. It's God's work to do that. It's God's work to keep the church alive in Canada. It's God's work to preserve a remnant people, even in the midst of all the evils of this day. We might think it's our work, but we've got to remind God that it's His work. It's not our agenda. Oh yes, we would love to see Canada a Christian nation from end to end. But God will determine that. Man proposes, God disposes. What we would like may not be the purposes of God. But He does have a purpose. And He will promote it. And He will see it through. It is God's power and energy going forth, not man's power. God's work is God's power and energy going forth. A few weeks ago we discussed the fact that the world is not a closed system. We talked in scientific language of how in any experiment you have a closed system. All the variables are taken out and you can predict that, you know, what is happening here will affect it in the same way every time, every time, every time. It's a closed system. It's a predictable system. There are no variables. That is called deism. It was very popular in the days of George Whitefield. England was turning to deism. It's like winding up the clock. And you can predict, as long as the spring is wound up, it's going to go according exactly to clockwork. And many people think that about the world. That God is really not intervening at all. And just things are going along predictably. That's fatalism. That is deism. That is just ruling God out. But we've got to realize that God is in this. And God does intervene. And God does take His hand either away or He puts His hand to move in power. And it is the energy of His Spirit to build His church and to save His people. Now if God does not do that in Canada, we will have a cesspool of iniquity. If God does not move to promote and to revive His work in this nation, we will have moral collapse and an awful rejection of the Lord that will lead to judgment. But the church is God's work to pull precious souls out of the broad way that leads to destruction. To take men and women and young people in their blind state, in their slavery to sin, and to snatch them out of that world of darkness and destruction into the safety of His church, the grace of the gospel. That's God's work. And every preacher knows that he can't even effect the conversion of one soul. And we as a church know that all our leafleting and radio ministry and all that we seek to do to get the gospel out, humanly speaking, we can convert no one. It has to be God's work. But faith looks to God that he will promote his work. God is moving today. We rejoice that he's still saving sinners, still gathering out a people. And God will work that effectual call in sinners' hearts. And we need faith in these days of apparent decline all around us. Lord, your church is your work. And then he goes on to pray in faith to call on God to revive his work in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of calamity. Now, we know what the calamity was in Habakkuk's time. It was the calamity of the ferocious Chaldean nation coming against little Judah. They would come as leopards. They would come as horses with great force and fury. And poor little Judah wouldn't have a chance of withstanding. And this would be the historical calamity at that particular time. As we see the church of the Lord Jesus today, very much like Judah, in trouble, with great enemies coming against her. Atheism, apathy, immorality, vices that were unthinkable in the public forum years ago, are now on open stage for display. And it seems that every frontal attack that is made, that we lose the battle. And the church of the Lord Jesus is in the midst of this. Now I want you to notice in chapter 3, verse 2, how Habakkuk phrases this. He says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And then he repeats it. In the midst of the years, make known. Now, this is a reference to the particular trial. These years. We've had good times. We've had a decade. We've had a generation of great blessing. But now we're in the years of affliction. This period when great evil and calamity is upon us. We can say likewise in our nation we've had generations of great privileges, opportunities. And God has been gracious, converted many, but we fear. And yet the church in the midst is like the burning bush, burning through affliction, but not consumed. And the Lord is glorifying his name in preserving his church. And I want you to notice the word revive in verse 2 in the margin means to preserve alive. Preserve alive. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let the testimony of your church disappear. But Lord, do what you did even with that burning bush before Moses. Fuel it. And the bush was not consumed. That was the miracle. And while the church is sent through affliction and trial, God is in the work of preserving alive his people and his church. It is based, of course, on God's mercy. I just want to follow the logic of Habakkuk, the arguments that he is using as he prays. He's pleading with God. Here is an intense praying in faith. And he says, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And here is, if I may use a worldly term, the trump card of the Christian. Here is our chief argument. As we come to pray to God, God's mercy. After all, is that not the reason why the world exists at all? Is it not God's mercy that he has built his church? Or even planned his church? Or sent his son to save his church? It's all mercy. It's not because anyone was deserving or better or good enough. It's because we were all sinners. It's because we were all lost and hopeless. It's because without a Savior, every one of us would be in hell. And in mercy, God planned the gospel scheme of redemption. And here is Habakkuk as he is burdened by the darkness that's coming upon him in his day. He's taking this very chief of stuff arguments and saying, Lord, remember mercy. Where's your covenant of grace? Where is your scheme of salvation? You promised a Savior to the world. And of course, in these times, our Lord Jesus had not yet come. And through the line of Judah and the house of Israel, a Savior would be born. And Habakkuk is pleading with God, Lord, you have a purpose of mercy for the world to send us a Savior. Lord, let us not be wiped out in your wrath. Remember mercy. And so here is the praying of faith. I hope this is your burden and your prayer for Canada. Lord, in wrath, God is angry with our nation, let me tell you. God is angry with the sin that is abounding in our nation. But still he will remember mercy because he delights in mercy. This is his chief attribute. This is his par excellent forte. He delighteth in extending mercy. He gets great glory by displaying his mercy. And so in faith we must plead on the terms of God's mercy. And then I would come back to another reason. One we've already referred to some degree, and that is that this prayer began with the conviction that the Lord is in his holy temple. Chapter 2:20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now that but makes all the difference. God is alive and well. God knows the Chaldeans are coming because God told Habakkuk. That's only how Habakkuk knew. And here, of course, is the wonderful thing about God's providence. God plans, God disposes, works it all out in advance, can tell his prophet how it's going to unfold, and to the very details they are fulfilled. It's all of God. God is on the throne. The atheist today will tell us God is dead. The church is dying. The people of God are diminishing. The secular man, the humanist, and the various false religions, they're advancing. But the cause of our Lord Jesus is dying. But the just shall live by faith. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. He is still to be worshipped. The Lord is in his holy temple. He's still to be worshipped. And as our Lord said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is in his holy temple, therefore he hears prayer. And if Habakkuk could rejoice that the Lord is in his temple, so much more should we, because our Lord now has taken a human body and he has ascended to the Father's right hand. He is our high priest in the temple of heaven. He is now pleading with his own blood for his church. And the Lord is ministering as our high priest for us. This is the prayer of faith. This is the prayer of hope. And while it doesn't diminish the dark things that are happening, and doesn't stick your head in the sand and run away from the issue, yet the hope and reality is that the Lord is. And the Lord is in his holy temple. And the Lord hears the cries of his people. And the Lord will not allow his church to die. He will revive her. And so Habakkuk goes with this burden of heart and he calls on God, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of this calamity that's become a fall on us. We today in our church need to be a waiting people on God. Anything the church needs to be driven to prayer, needs to be driven to prayer. The other thing that has happened in this nation is the awful silence. One freelance writer has written in one of our national papers, the silence of evangelicals is deafening. There has been so little protest. Mind you, I would not say there's been no protest. I am hearing of things that the media has not covered. In Toronto last week, there was a huge gathering at the legislature in Toronto. A huge gathering of evangelical people. Many of them were Chinese Christians, and I commend them. Tomorrow in Vancouver at 6 p.m., there is a gathering of Filipino believers. I think it's at the Arts Museum or Center in Vancouver. So there are people who are willing to speak up. Of course, we don't get much coverage of this in the media. We seem to get bombarded with ongoing coverage of every advance of gays and lesbians. And we're sickened and tired of hearing the promotion of evil. But how wonderful it is today to know the Lord is in His holy temple. His mercies are new today. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need mercy. The Lord is in His temple. It's like when you go to the doctor's office and you ask, is the doctor in? And of course, if the reception says, no, I'm sorry, he's not in today. Well, there's no help. But if he's in, then all his skill and all his ability to help is present. And how wonderful it is to us to know the Lord is in. He's in His temple. He's available. And it's not like some doctor's offices where you have to wait half a day to get to see Him. The Lord is ready to hear us and help us. And so as we come to another Canada Day, we praise God for the grace to see it, that we're alive and well to see another Canada Day. This will be my 19th in Canada. And I bless God for the day that He brought us to this country. The Lord has been gracious and good. This past year has been one of a great cloud over our nation, a cloud over the Lord's church. But here is Habakkuk, and he ministers to us today. Here is God speaking through this prophet. And we can awaken and say, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Would you turn to Him today? Perhaps, Christian, you've slackened off and said, well, what's the point in pressing on in the Christian life in these evil days? Don't slacken off. Pray, Lord, revive. Lord, if you can't revive the nation, revive me. And revive our little church and every gospel-preaching church from St. John's to Victoria. Oh, God, have mercy on this nation. Have mercy on us. And praise God, He's in His temple to bless us. Amen. Let's have a little word of prayer as we call on God to bless this nation of Canada. Our gracious God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, that it is new and living to us. What encouragement we find in very trying days. Lord, this is a difficult day to serve Thee. Lord, we confess that there are many things that we would become depressed about. But, O Lord, we trust that Thou art a holy God, a wise God, and full of mercy. I plead with Thee, O God, to remember this nation. And I pray, O God, that Thou wilt awaken and come, O Lord, to our aid. And grant that You will revive Thy work in the midst of the years. And bless Thy cause. Bless the youth of our churches. O Lord, grant that there will be a generation growing up who will know the Lord. Let Thy favor and blessing be upon each of us. And as we dismiss now, as we go our several ways, grant, Lord, You'll keep us and bless us. Receive our praises. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with God's people now and evermore. Amen.